That was the last slide on Easter Day, 7 days ago. What a great gathering that was. The church was packed. Easter Day. And just to remember, Easter Day is Resurrection Day. Resurrection Day. And so 1 week later, sounds like a box set this, doesn't it? Sounds like 7 days ago. 1 week later, the question is, what next? 1 week later, what next? And that's what I just want a quick look through here. And what's been, I'll tell you the truth about this. I've done a sermon for this morning, and I woke up this morning before six, and the Lord said, wrong sermon, mate. So I was up doing over the toast, trying to get it together. Trisha going, oh, I'll tell you, it's fine, don't worry about it. And I felt quite, all the way since last week, I've had this sense of what is our life really about. Now, I'm a big picture person, I know that, and I present, you know, it's what I'm a kind of seeker of the new frontiers. But actually, I'm very, very aware, as 30 years as a pastor, of working with ordinary people in their troubles and in their struggles and holding their hand when they're, you know, and praying with them and seeing them in times of grief and trauma and also times of joy and breakthrough. And actually, our life is consumed by our life. I think that'll appear on the screen. Life is what makes up what we do. It's all about, you think about it every day, don't you? You're in the middle of it. You know, you have a little breakthrough here and the vicar speaks about this or the church leader speaks about that, or you have a little a kind of breakthrough here or a bit of sport text over there, or you go out with friends. But at the end of the day, life is what we're here for. We're human beings. We are living life. And what struck me in the past 7 days was there were three things that struck me of how we do life. There are other categories, but generally it works out in these three ways. First of all, because we're in church, there's what I would call the religious life. And that generally has been totally abandoned by people because it's fake. It's a fake life, this religious life. Because religion is an outward form with no inward reality. And generally, the people that you know, your friends and family and colleagues at work, and generally our nation, have totally rejected this religious life. Outward form, but no inward reality. Whether you are an Anglican, a Baptist, or a Methodist, or whatever you are, it's an abandoned way of life that people see no reality in. Unfortunately, and particularly young people. But there's another way of life as well. And what I came up with this one. They do begin with R, but it does actually fit. This is what I would call the routine life. And that routines are good. But actually, when routine takes over your whole existence, that's a life that is futile. And the word futile is quite an interesting word, really, because it means ineffective or not of any significance. And so we need routines. If you've got children, you need routines. We live our life on routine. You have to go to work at a certain time. You can't just say, hey, boss, I don't believe in routines. I'll just turn up whenever, and I'll go home whenever, you know, because I'm not a routine person. And to which your boss will go, that's fine. Well done. Go and try it out somewhere else, because we're not paying you for that. So you need routines. Of course you do. However, Jesus had routines. He went to the synagogue. He did the things which were the routine of a man of his time. But if you allow the routine to take over your life without allowing space for some progression, some change, then that life becomes futile. There's no significance in it. And again, it's what the church has done in our nation, I believe, not across the world. The church is growing massively, but in this Western culture we live in, it is a life which is one of routine, and God can't get in. He just can't get into that life. There's no space. Again, there's nothing wrong with routine, but you need routine that's progressive. Now, there's a third life, which is what we did a week ago, which is this. It's the resurrection life. Now, one has been totally rejected by, I think, society, the religious life. One is basically totally accepted by society, a life of routine, because people think that's all there is about life. Generally, it's a routine every day with a bit of EastEnders and a glass of red wine on a Friday night just to break the monotony. It's like parody, but you know what I mean? And a holiday, if we can. But actually, somewhere in the mix of that comes this. This is not religious, and it's not routine, it's resurrection. And this is a life based on faith. It's a life based on faith. Resurrection appears, the word appears, believe it or not, obviously it's not in the Old Testament, the word resurrection. It's a New Testament word, and the bit when Jesus came, and it's mentioned 43 times in the New Testament, in all the books of the New Testament. 14 of those are in the Gospels. However, it's nothing to do with what we did on last Sunday, the word resurrection. It's a discussion Jesus had in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the same discussion from four different gospel writers. And it's about the religious leaders and the political leaders, in other words, the routine people and the religious people, challenging him because they didn't like his resurrection talk about new life with God and God's available to everyone. You don't have to go through a religious person, a kind of a religious go-between, a priestly person. Or you don't have to get a new life just by politics and the ways of the world. He was talking about something else. And so they challenged him on, hey, what about if you get divorced and then you die and go to heaven, who are you married to? Are you married to your first wife, your second wife, your third wife, or your fourth wife? Because men could just divorce wives for anything. Wives for anything, as we heard in the podcast this week off Helen. You could just divorce anybody back in Jesus' day. And so they were trying to catch him out. And they used the word at the resurrection, because they believed in it. So 14 of these 43 are a kind of argument. Another 10 are used in Acts of the Apostles. In other words, the early church started to talk about this new kind of life. And then the rest of them are all found in the letters of Paul. And this is one of the letters that Paul wrote to people about the resurrection life. And he wrote to a church in a place called Colossae. This is the letter to the Colossians. Colossae was a big, massive city a few hundred years before Jesus, a bit like the London of its time. And then it became a provincial town, a bit like Huddersfield. From London to Huddersfield. Get your brain around that one. But a church was planted there by a friend of Paul's called Epaphras, great name. And it was a great, fantastic little church. And they all went slightly pear-shaped. For these reasons, people came in with false teaching. You don't need that resurrection life. You need more religion. We need to do religious washing of hands and utensils. And let's go back to the old ways of religion, the old religious life that we used to have as Jews. And then other people came in and said, you don't need that resurrection life. What you need is more, we need something else. We need a new wisdom called the Gnostics. We need a new way of looking at this. It's a liberal way. It's kind of one of the way of the world. Get a routine of living the way the world lives. Paul said, whoa, 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 whoa. No. And he wrote them this letter. And right in the middle of this letter, chapter 3, he says this. So, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground. Absorb with the things right in front of you. How many times do we do that? Got to pay the mortgage, got to do this, got to get the kids sorted out, got to get the washing sorted before I go off to work. The car's failed its MOT. That's not going to work out. I've got a headache. I'm going to die tomorrow. What's happening here? I'm just so absorbed with everything in my life. He says, no, look up. Be alert. That's what we need today. We need more alerts to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. So he's saying this resurrection life is the life we need to lead. And that's what we need to hear on this Review Sunday. You see, Review Sunday for me, I've never done a Review Sunday is, let's spend all this time looking at what happened in the past. Who cares? It's called the past for a reason, because it's past. We need to review and give thanks for that and learn from it, but move on to what God has got for us next. One of the great blessings of coming to this church is we got rid of the annual church meeting, because I became a church pastor, and one of the things I was taken into was the annual church meeting, which basically was a group of people who love meetings, meeting on a Wednesday night, going through reams of documents, which meant totally nothing. And all the people who were going to move the church forward didn't come to that meeting. They all stayed at home watching telly, because they wanted to do the progressive stuff. And I'm so glad this church is very progressive, because that's what we're doing today. It incorporates the annual church meeting. And people say to me sometimes, you must have the annual church meeting. You have to. Why? Why? Life's too short. It's far too short to get caught up in stuff like that. If you want the accounts of this church, which are about 45 pages long, you can have them. You let the reception know, they'll get a copy for you, print it off, cut a tree down, let you have it, and you can look through the whole of that. Now, of course we have those, and the accountant looks at it, and the auditor looks at it. Absolutely right, we do that. But actually, we need to get over that and press on for other stuff. Because we need to be doing, move on, Ruth, to the next one. Remember what he says here? He says, if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. And I'm really praying that the rest of this year, we start to get serious about this life. We are to pursue the things where Christ is at. We are to look up and see what Christ is doing. And we are to see things from his perspective. I don't think Jesus went to an annual church meeting and perused accounts. I just don't really think he did that at all. If he did, it's not my kind of God. I'm not saying they're not right, but actually on this Review Sunday, I want to say it's not the future to do that. You see, the reason we talk about money is because it's about being serious about the resurrection life. Early on in our life, me and Tricia were challenged about this in our Christian life by friends who were basically, they weren't in the Church of England, they were in the house church. Some of you may know what that is. They were radicals. They were giving 10% of their money away to the church. I could have hit him when he talked about that kind of money. I mean, I was so angry with them telling me about this. But actually, I'll tell you this now. This is how serious Trish and I are. People say to me, do you give a tenth of your income? No. We give 15% of our income to this church. And so we add it all up, including the building fund. It's now 16% of our income. That goes straight to this church. And then we figure out the gas bill and the electric bill and the food and the car. That's how it works. Why? Because actually, Trish and I are serious about this resurrection life. No, that's not. That's up to you. You've got to sort it out in your own way. But I'll challenge you this on Review Sunday. You need to sort it. And actually, we need to get to a point of taking it away. If you don't fill one of those forms in, I think you've just got to be challenged by God. Why the heck not? Need to stop doing the dark arts of finance and be open and honest as a family and say, hey, I'm going to give £2.50 a week, a tenner a week, £5 a week, £20 a week, whatever it is. I'm serious about this. So serious, I'm going to talk to my non-church partner about it. So serious, we're going to talk about it in our cell groups in the week. We need to talk about it, because we need to be serious about this faith that we've got. And there'll be a little voice inside saying, you won't be able to manage if you do that. When that happens, you need to say, oh, little voice in my head, naff off. It's a Greek word. So, 2019 for SDC, what does it mean for me, for my life? Just have a little think. What is this? What is this being serious? I've left that on. What does it mean being serious about this resurrection life? These are challenging days in our nation. What does it mean to have this life in me, which is God? What does it mean to be serious about it? With who I am, with what I own, with what I've got? Well, it's all His anyway. What does it actually mean for me? Personally, do I want to live this kind of life? What does it mean for us as a church? Three things, then I'm done. Our life. What does it mean for our life? Three things I'm going to give you here. There's a picture on the screen, not much else. The first thing is this. Resurrection people. The first thing we're going to do for the rest of this year is continue to invest in people. Because that's what the resurrection is about. It's about investing in people. Now, numbers of people in this church. In the brochure you'll find numbers. We're just under 1,000 people in this church. Have we grown in the last 2 years? No, we haven't. We haven't grown systematically in the last 2 years. The gatherings on a Sunday, the 8:45 is static. So prayer time, it's not grown at all, the 8:45. This one has been slow growth here. There has been growth. The 7 o'clock, there has been decline. 5 years ago, we had over 300 at the 7 o'clock. We've now got about 150, 160. So have we grown in that way? No. Have we grown in people? Yes, as I've said. We've got less adults, about 100 less adults, but we've got more kids and teenagers. So the adults who are here, you're really doing well getting new babies. So well done. Keep at it. Keep at it. It's good. It's good to do that. Now, where have all the adults gone? Well, 2016 was a big kairos for us because we sent a load of adults to the northeast to Gateshead. Rich and Louisa Grant went, basically took the next staff team with them. That's what happened. We gave, you know, when you hear, give your best people away when you plant a church. Well, we still got best people here, but we gave some of our best people away. And actually, a lot of money went with it as well. So that's what happened there. And people-wise, we've not grown on... I think the 10:30 is an interesting gathering, this one. We hover around 220, I think it's about 218 again, 220 adults. And we get loads of kids and teenagers, which is good. But actually, it's because we work on, a lot of people work on now, the 1 in 3, 1 in 4. So if you added everybody over a month, there'd be a lot more than that. But actually, that's the way it works. Generally can't get above that kind of number on a Sunday gathering, but that's not the whole of what we do. I'll come on to that in a minute with people. We gather in other ways. People, have we grown with finance? I've covered all the finance stuff. I don't need to do that again. And so there are three things with regards to how many people we've got and what's happening with the people we've got. The second thing about resurrection is people. The second thing is about being these people, all of us becoming a disciple of Jesus. So the second thing is disciples. And actually, what we're doing to try, and a disciple is a follower of Jesus, but an apprentice of Jesus, putting the things of Jesus into practice, what he said and what he did. It's more, we've said many times, than just coming on a Sunday and singing the songs and being, that's how lots of churches operate, all about Sunday. We don't do that here. We love Sunday, but actually it's about something else. And so we're doing this Grow project here, which is quite significant for us. We have 57 midweek communities at this church, which is amazing. 82% of all our people, our adults, are in a community. And again, if you're here this morning and you're not part of a community, I would really encourage you. You cannot grow as a Christian just coming on a Sunday. You can't do that. You'll remain like that constantly. You'll hear a great sermon, and then you'll go back down again, and you miss three Sundays or four Sundays, and then you'll come and hear another great sermon, and then you'll come again, and then you come again and hear a naff sermon, and you go even further down, and then, and sure, your life's going to be like that. But as you join a community in the week, you do Sunday, but then you're on a community in the week, and your faith grows and gets stronger and is challenged, and then you miss a Sunday because you've got to visit family, but you're there again on the midweek. And the midweek communities are the life of this church. And I want to encourage, we need to get to 90% of our church. I was once in a meeting, and a very well-known church leader, very, very well-known church leader, I won't tell you the name, said publicly from the front, a lot of our team were there, if you hear a church leader say they've got more than 20% or 25% of their church in a midweek community, that leader is lying. Do not trust them and listen to them. That's what he said. And all my team immediately looked at me and went. Now we know we got 82% because we count all the numbers. And so, midweek community is really important. The Grow Project, this is called deliberate discipleship. And I want to encourage you, I'm doing the same this evening, particularly this evening with young adults and students. You can drift from this and think, oh, we'll do a bit of Tim Keller, or we'll do a bit of this, or we'll do a bit, I've read a book on this, why don't we do this as a cell group? If you do that, you will not be on the same page as everybody else. That's the point of this material, that we deliberately, as a church family, focus on this process. And if we do that, as we meet friends in the week, as we meet God, as we are going to do when the next modules come out, and encounter God, we will then learn to live life better. And we will be true disciples of Jesus. So I want to encourage you to do that. Final thing that I've done with the song. Well, I'm not going to sing the song. The final one, people, disciples, and mission. That's the city of Sheffield. So have we grown in mission over the last 2 years? Well, yes and no. Yes and no, I think the answer there. Schools work, yes. Higher Tour, 14,000 teenagers were reached in South Yorkshire, 26 in the whole of South and West Yorkshire. Universities, I'll talk more about that tonight. Have we done mission in universities? Has it worked? Yeah, I don't think so. We've had a good go, but actually, I've got to ask, there's some fantastic students in this church, I'm telling you. The numbers have declined, as of the young adults. More about that tonight. I want to speak to that community tonight. But actually, that's the reality of it. Now, I'm saying all this about the numbers, about us. We're just under 1,000. This is in the context of total, near total annihilation in our nation of young people in the church. You've got to bear that in mind here. There's only just over 1.5% of our nation go to church on a Sunday. So you've got to put that in mind. I'll not go through the stats of the 0 to 18s and the 0 to 25s. Practically gone from our nation. And so it's difficult to do this work, but it's not impossible. More this evening about that. Because somewhere in that mix, as we've had over the years here, some students need to step up to the plate and young adults and say, I'm up for this, Mick. I want to be a missionary for Jesus. What do I need to do? Come in, buddy. I'll pray for you. Let's do it. That's not happening at the moment for all kinds of reasons. So mission in our universities, yes, schools, yes, units, workplaces. I think we're going to do more focus on that this year of how we can help you be equipped in the workplace. I think the final thing, I'll cut some stuff out because we need to finish now. The mission to our city, more about this in the next weeks. We're going to focus, it's in the brochure, we're going to focus on the clusters. We focus more on the cells to get the Grow Project going. Clusters were next on the list. Monday night, if you're one of the leaders, be in this church Monday night. We're going to talk more about that at the leaders' meeting. What are clusters about? It's time now. Furvale, we're looking to plant something there on a Sunday. Just a new expression of church. It's tough. But actually, it's not impossible. The next place, I think, places like Stannington. We've got people moving to Stannington. We need an expression of the life of this church in Stannington. People gathering together for mission projects, clustering together. Yeah, but we're in young families and we're in community church. It's got nothing to do with it. Your disciples get together, do something in that community. Crosspool, we've got people over there. Where else is God leading us to this year to start missioning in larger numbers in the areas where we live and living the resurrection life of Jesus? I'm going to pray for us now, the resurrection life in our city, in our own lives as disciples, and in the people of this church. I'm going to pray for us. I hope you're challenged. Should be. I'm challenged. I'm challenged massively. How do I react to it? Take a form, fill it in, £2.50. I'm committed. As soon as you fill it in, you're committed. I'm challenged. What am I going to do about it? We really ought to get connected with some people midweek. Do it. Don't just talk about it. Start to do this resurrection life. Take it seriously. Because at the end of the day, if we're Christians, that man on a cross took his mission seriously to the extent that he gave everything for us. Let's stand. I'm going to sing a great hymn. Not bad, we're 5 minutes over. That's amazing. Got a lot in this morning. In Christ alone, we're going to sing, yeah? As the music plays, maybe at the end of this gathering, maybe you've never done it before. I think you need to do this once on your bucket list before you die. Come to the front and pray. I mean, so many people over the years never go to the front and make a commitment and stand and I say to God, I want to do a new thing with you, God. You need to do it once before you die. It's great down here at the front. You're nearer to the cross, nearer to the money on the plate. Jesus, we love this church and we love you. But Lord, it's Kairos time. We're plateaued. It's good to plateau at 1,000. It's a great number. But Jesus, would you raise up those who've got a real passion to do something? And actually, you don't need permission. Just get on with it and tell your church leaders. Be accountable, but just let's do it. Lord, would you raise up those who you know need raising up? Am I serious about my Christian life? If I am, I need to act like it and not treat it as a religious pastime and a nice group of guys I hang out with on a Wednesday night. So Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit comes now upon us. The religious life has been the death knell of this nation. People are desperate to move out of the routine of the same old, and the answer is the resurrection life. The resurrection life of Jesus. Christ alone is the answer.